So Luke 2 and 51 talks about how Jesus went down to Nazareth, talking about humility, right? Now, Jesus went down. There are three times he went down. He went down in Nazareth, he went down in Jordan, and then he went down to Sheol. You know that. He went down in Nazareth out of humility to be hidden for 18 years. He went down in Jordan in humility, but came up in glory, in manifestation as the Son of God. He went down to Sheol as the Son of God to proclaim and lead captives to victory. Right? So there are three going downs that we also will have. But the first going down, he was not just going down, he was submitted to Mary and Joseph, who are a picture of the Father. And the word submitted is hypotasso, which means to align yourself under. Yes, it also means to subject yourself to the rule of another, but in the military terms, to align yourself on the orders of the commander. So the Holy Spirit is our commander. And he orders us. He orders us. And he teaches us. And he gets us in line. And that's why we are trying to be attentive to the Holy Spirit to see what he has to say. Now, the last Saturday, as Sunday, and the Sunday before that, if it only turned out to be some nice teaching that tickled you, okay, fair enough. It could do that. It made you feel good, which is sort of surprising because it's not supposed to make you feel good. But made you feel good. But if it didn't provoke you to take action in your life, then you should take heed how you hear. Because Jesus said, take heed what you hear. But he also said, take heed how you hear. That means our hearts should be open. Right? Our hearts should be open. So, let's close our eyes and repeat this prayer after me. Holy Spirit, I come to you today. My heart is open. My ear is attentive. Let the veil over my eyes be taken. Let me understand the excellent things. Help me to probe and find. Seek and search. And to apprehend what you have for me. Holy Spirit, I am open to you. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, believe what you said. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is going to open your eyes. This is going to be a very wonderful meeting today. Proverbs 22. You can turn there now. And verse 20. We know this, but we will read it again. 22, 20 and 21. It says, have not I written to thee excellent things? Amen. I written to thee excellent things. Does your Bible say something like that?
Yes.
Anyone's Bible here says something other than excellent things? You can put your hand up. Nobody? What does your Bible say? 30 sayings. Very good. What about? That's it? Okay. The word excellent over here is what we want to narrow down on. But I'll read the whole verse. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee known the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Isn't that awesome? I have written excellent things so you may know. And when you know, you can also teach. That's what it says. See, we are learning so that we can teach. We are not learning to become puffed up with knowledge. The problem with this revelation is people become what's called revelation junkies. You know what's a junkie? A junkie is someone who is addicted on drugs. It's a junkie. Sometimes revelation can become a drug. And now we're looking for the greatest and the latest revelation. Everyone wants to bring out something that has not come to earth from the beginning of time, and they want to say, I am the one who brought it. They want to be, their claim to fame is, I brought a new revelation of God on earth. And so they're trying to suck out revelation from their little finger. But you see, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of revelation and illumination, he shall open your eyes to see hidden things. He says, have not I written to thee excellent things? So that means everything has been already written. And people are going berserk trying to please people with their great depth of knowledge. And they are perverting the gospel. Right? Now the word excellent is the word shalish. It means, like Michelle's version said, 30 or 3-stringed instrument or 3-fold. So, have not I written to thee 3-fold things? 3-fold things. Have not I written to thee 3-fold things? Now, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 16 and 16, you should know this. 3 times in a year you shall come. How many times a year? There were 7 feasts which were later played down to 3 feasts. So there are 3 feasts. Say 3 feasts.
3 feasts.
So you have 3 feasts. Don't worry, we're not observing feasts. 3 feasts. 3 times a year shall all males, thy males, appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread. Say Passover.
Passover.
The feast of unleavened bread. The feast of weeks. Say Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Feast of weeks. Pentecost. And the feast of tabernacles. Tabernacles.
Tabernacles.
They shall not appear before the Lord empty handed. Ah. Okay. 3 feasts. Passover. Pentecost. Tabernacles. Right. Pay attention now. Passover, Egypt, Pentecost, wilderness, tabernacles, promised land. You must be following by now. By now you got the you're catching this move. Passover, outer court, Pentecost, holy place, tabernacle,
holy
place. Body, soul, spirit. You're getting it. 3 kinds of offerings were there. Sin and trespass offering, outer court. Meal and peace offering, holy place. Whole burnt offerings, the Ola, the ascending offering. Holy of holies. Little children. So now, I made a list, if you're wondering what. It's not an exhaustive list, but I made a list of the threefold. And this is what I could manage. Don't worry. Some of you got worried. I'll not read the whole thing. Just go through a few of it so you understand threefold. So you know God's not messing around. See, don't mess with God. He'll mess with you. Jesus, Christ, the Lord. Jesus, Christ. Jesus is a Savior. Christ is anointed one. The Lord is the Lord. New birth. Say new birth. How many of you have new birth? So I'll tell you something. People throw this word around, unbeliever, unbeliever, right? And that sort of doesn't do justice. Because you see, I don't believe in the music of Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. So I'm an unbeliever for Justin Bieber. I don't believe in veganism and vegetarianism. Because I believe vegetarian is the name given to the fool who couldn't hunt or gather. No, the village idiot who couldn't hunt and gather, he's a vegetarian. In the olden days, you had to hunt to eat. So I'm an unbeliever in vegetarian. So that word unbeliever sort of throws you off. So you have to understand, what is new birth? New birth is accepting the Lordship of Jesus, right? No. It's accepting the saving grace of Jesus. That is a new birth. So we Christians become so professional in our Christianity. We are professional Christians. Say, I'm a professional Christian. I'm outstanding. I'm an expert in the Bible. And I know all things. So what happens is, we misunderstand the dynamics. The dynamics is very simple. You could not... How many of you here have been born? The very fact you can listen to me is you're born, okay? Otherwise, you're a ghost. And if you're a ghost and I can see you, there's a problem. Okay. Now that you're born, how many of you had something to do with that birth? Now, recently someone was born, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Recently someone was born. We have a new baby. 8 days already old. Already old it is.
Old.
The baby is old. 8 days. Mm-hmm. Right? Recently born. Now, did the baby decide, you know what, I'm going to be born? Did the baby... Can you decide to be born? No, you can't. You can't. You can't be born again. It's only Jesus who does it. Only the Holy Spirit who does it. Only the Holy Spirit can get you born again. So, Your born again experience is as simple as a prayer that begins the journey. And then the reality of it will come upon you in time. So all you have to do is, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that I need a savior. I know, I understood from the Bible, I read and I understand. How much I understand, I don't know. All I know is I need a savior. Can you save me? Please help. That prayer, God will. You know, there's this man who just died recently. He used to act in a very famous sitcom called Friends. His name is Matthew Perry. Mm. Now, Matthew Perry, from the age of 14, was into alcohol and whatnot. And then he remembered one day, he comes from a Protestant background, I think. I don't know for sure. He prayed a prayer saying, God, if you give me fame, I'll do whatever you want. Saying within 6 months, he was cast in Friends and he got all fame, but he forgot his prayer, and alcohol, drugs took over his life, and living his life like that. Exactly 10 years after that, his life was way worse, and he was at the bottom of the barrel when one day he was in his kitchen and the word came to him saying, do you remember our transaction? He said, whatever you want, I want you. He said, long story short, he said, I cried out and I made a prayer, and I felt that was the only prayer that could be heard by heaven, and that was help. Mm-hmm. He would become sober. He would turn his house into a place where he could help addicts recover. Right? But I'm not saying anything about his life. I'm not judging him this way or that way. What I'm saying is, the only prayer that you can be for sure know that you can be heard is help. You get born again. New birth. Say new birth.
New birth.
The next part is the Holy Ghost baptism. That is where you understand the Lordship of Jesus and the Holy Spirit you get baptized in. Now, not only you know Jesus as a Savior, you know Jesus as the Christ, the Anointed One, because you get anointed with the Holy Spirit. Then when you start understanding the Lordship, the what it does is it chases you to ministry. And maturity, right? When you become mature. So,
new birth,
Holy Spirit baptism, maturity. You see that? Many people camp at new birth. That's all. The only experience they have is I got born again. Many people camp at I got Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's clap hands. Mm-hmm. Very few people move on to maturity. You need to be mature. Right? Then the blade, the ear, and the full corn. Gleanings of the harvest, bulk of the harvest, first fruit of the harvest. Water baptism, spirit baptism, baptism of fire. There are way too many. I'll not read all of them. Righteousness, peace, joy, death, burial, resurrection. So many are there. Out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the land. Okay. We'll just leave that. So, he brought us out. He'll bring us through and he will lead us in. I want to at the outset make this statement that you cannot choose to be brought out. You cannot choose to come out. You cannot choose to go through. And you cannot choose to go in. You did nothing to be brought out, right? So I'm telling you, there was an anointing that brought you out. David had three anointings. Remember that. The first anointing, he killed a bear, a lion, and Goliath. The second anointing, he ruled over Judah. But the third anointing, he ruled over all Israel. So, I want to tell you, there is an all in your life. There is a dominion principle that's going to come. Having dominion. So, killing the lion, the bear, and Goliath is good. Ruling over Judah is better. But having dominion is the best. English is funny, you know, it's not good, gooder, and goodest. Right? It's good, better, and best. So here's a homework for you, children. If it's good, better, and best, what is bad? Is it badder and baddest? You have to find out, okay? And let me know. Children, that's your homework. Find out and let me know. Okay. Fine. Now, in the Old Testament, priests were anointed with oil. Remember last week we spoke about spicy oil. Say, I'm a spice. Come on. Exodus. Remember Exodus? Anyone remember which chapter? That's correct. 30. And which verse? Excellent. 23. You're a good. Say, I'm a Bible student. I know all things. All right. Fantastic. Come on. Come on. You'll know everything. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. Someone read loud and clear for me. Very good. Collect the choice. Anyone remember what the word choice in Hebrew is? Let me tell you what the stand up. Turn around. Let them see the word choice. Let them see the word principle. Let them see the word first. What is the Hebrew word for principle? Thank you, sit down. Rosh, which means the head, the first. Right? Y'all will not forget this now. No? Y'all will not forget this. Right? So he is the first spicy one. Right? Spicy. Collect the principal spices. Right? Anoint. Anoint. Right? Put it in a pot. Say we are in a pot.
We are in a pot.
How many of you stayed in the pot? How many of you jumped out of the pot in the last week? How many of you felt, hey, associating with the other spices is a little not nice? You know, we are called to be in a pot, and you are one of the four spices. There are four spices, right? Mm-hmm. There are four spices and five ingredients. We'll come to that. But you're in a pot and you are rubbing shoulders with spice that's not like you, doesn't think like you, doesn't smell like you, smells worse than you, right? Or different than you, you can say that. And how many of you experienced what I said last week, saying that Friday, Saturday is going to be a wonderful time of spice rubbings, where spice is rubbed all over you and you feel the spiciness of the other person? Anyone felt spiciness of another person on you? Irritation, anger, frustration, almost stopping you from coming for the service. Yeah. Now some of you didn't feel the spiciness of other people. You just felt the frustration of that. They're not spices. You know, spices have to be born again people. If you're not born again, you're not spice. So don't worry about it. Right? So in the Old Testament, priests, prophets and kings. Who are that? Priests, prophets and kings. All of them were anointed with oil. All had to be anointed with oil. Okay. So, and you remember, we're just recapping. You remember that whiteboard of mine?
Yes.
And I told you, Christ, prophet, priest, king. You remember that, right? Prophet, priest, king. And what does Christ produce? He produces a kingdom. Christ produces the kingdom. And in Christ, we have prophet, priest, king. So under Christ, who we have? Prophet, priest, king. Say the word Christ.
Christ.
You know what it means? It's not Jesus' second name. You know? I'm Emmanuel Ruskina. Ruskina is my family name. You know? So Christ was not his family name. It was his title. It means the anointed one. I'm just letting you know. It also means anointing. It also means the anointing of the anointed one. Because English is a little weak language to explain certain concepts. So Christ produces the kingdom. Under Christ is prophet, priest, king. Under kingdom is righteousness, peace and joy. So prophet produces righteousness, priest produces peace, and king produces joy. So righteousness, peace and joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. Right? So the threefold anointing, pay attention now, because Christ is what I said?
King.
The anointing. Christ is the anointing. Christ is the anointing. So the anointing produces the kingdom. And therefore, can I say the anointing, which is of the prophet, priest and king? Are you seeing the pattern here?
Yes.
The anointing on the prophet, priest and king produces righteousness, peace and joy. And that anointing is in us.
Amen.
In us. Amen. You thought I said you. In us.
Together.
So we are together, prophet, priest and king. This is the mistake many times we make. We take everything in the Bible and think it's personal. I want to tell you the Bible is written corporately. Oh, bummer. I thought all the messages and all for me. Well, they are for you, corporately. For us. Right? So, Jesus Christ is the anointed one. We know that. So, let's turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians 4 and verse 6. You should know this.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son.
Oh, stop. Pay attention. You were too busy turning the Bible, so you didn't pay attention. So you're going to read again.
And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son.
God has sent forth the Spirit of
His Son.
The what?
His Son.
Spirit of His Son.
Into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
So, who cries Abba, Father? We.
Yes.
He sends into our hearts the Spirit of His Son. So, now I want to tell you, you know this, but we'll talk about it. God is Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. So, Holy Spirit is God. But He's also a person. So, I want to tell 16 things about the Holy Spirit that you need to know. First, He teaches. Okay? That's in John 14, 26. Second, He testifies. That is in John 15, 26. Third, He reproves. That is in John 16, 8 onwards. Then He guides into truth. John 16, 13. He speaks. John 14, Acts 13, 2. He calls men into service. Acts 13, 2. He directs men in service. Acts 16, 6. He prays and intercedes for us. Romans 8, 26. He searches all things, even the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 10. He works through us. 1 Corinthians 2, 11. Those are the 10 things that He does. Got it? Now, here are the 6 things the Holy Spirit can do to the Holy Spirit. First, He can be blasphemed. Matthew 12. He can be lied to. Acts 5. He can be tempted or tested. Acts 5. He can be resisted. Acts 7. He can be grieved. Acts 4. And He can be insulted. Hebrews 10. You getting it? Why am I saying all this? So that you understand He's a person. He is not a feeling. There are some people who teach that the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and Son. Some of you are saying, Pastor, the last week and the week before that, you were dropping some bombs on us and we were getting excited. Today, all you're doing is teaching. I want to tell you, I am dealing with your spirit, man. I'm bypassing some of your brains. The reason is, some of your brains is the problem. Because you think you know everything. So you need to rearrange what you think and conform about the Holy Spirit as it is revealed. Right? Okay. So, 1 Timothy. No, let's go first. Colossians 1, 26.
Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints.
Go on.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His majesty among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
See, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. What is the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what is Christ? You can say it loudly. What is Christ?
The anointing.
So, the anointing in you, the hope of glory. So, there is an anointing in you. And that is the hope for your glory. You're getting it? Okay. 1 Timothy 3:16 now.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
So, the New International Version would say something like, beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body. He appeared in a
body.
Oh, yeah, you missed it. Let me do it again. He appeared in a
body.
He appeared. That's why. See, some of you have your noses buried in the book because you want to show how holy you are. You're missing what the Holy Spirit is saying. He appeared in a
body.
We are the body and Christ has appeared. The anointing has appeared. Okay. Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 16.
His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely.
Say altogether lovely.
Altogether lovely.
This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Now, this is a song. The Shulamite is talking about Solomon. Now, the story is like this. Solomon and Shulamite, they are already wed in chapter 3 and 4. But from 4, I mean chapter 3, sorry. From 4 to 8, it's the love story being spoken of. Okay? The story of married love. So, in chapter 5, verses 10 onwards, you'll find this. But verse 16 says, yea, he's altogether lovely. Altogether what?
Lovely.
Lovely. So, now the Shulamite bride is going to describe her bridegroom. Right? Now, whenever the Bible talks about bride, girl, woman, who is it talking about?
Church.
Talking about the church. Talking about the church. So, we're going to describe the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So, here is the first one. Chapter 5, verse 11. Behold his head. Behold his locks. It's going to go from 10 onwards to 16. I'll just do all the beholdings. Okay? Behold his head. Behold his locks. Behold his eyes. Behold his cheeks. Behold his lips. His hands. His belly. His legs. His countenance. His mouth. You're getting those 10 things that have been described about Jesus? Now let me talk about it. Behold his head. Behold his wisdom. His wisdom. Behold his locks. Behold his vigor. No? Vigor. He's young. Vigor. As we grow old, we don't have vigor. No locks. But when we are young, locks is vigor. Behold his eyes. His insight into things. Behold his cheeks. His flexibility. Behold his lips. His worship. Behold his hands, his service. Behold his belly, his motives. Behold his legs, his stability. Behold his countenance, his vision. Behold his mouth, his ministry. The Shulamite knew everything about the kingly husband. Everything. But here's the fun part. You look at this. This is a study, you can do it, okay? This is a study, you can do it. The fun part is, some people have taken some of that and made a denomination. They pay more emphasis on one and it becomes a denomination. But to have a full understanding of Christ, then you will understand that none of the denominations can capture it. You have all of Christ. Yeah. Isaiah 53, 11. Isaiah 53, 11. It's a wonderful... Anyone know about this chapter? It's a wonderful chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. You know this, right? It's a chapter about the cross of Christ. Mm-hmm. Go on, read it.
He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity.
So Jesus is called the servant. Singular, right? So the servant in this chapter, he is a corn of wheat. He is the pattern son that falls to the ground, dies, and comes and brings forth, through miraculous resurrection, brings forth a multiplication. The firstborn among many, right? In Romans and in John. You get that? You understand that? Servant. Immediately after this chapter, no more is singular used. It's always plural. It's always servants. It's always them. You read the Bible, right? It's always servant. Isaiah 54:17.
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Servants of the Lord? So I want to tell you, Jesus came, he lived, he died, so that we could be one. In fact, one of his prayers was, Father, may they be one. He was not saying, Father, may they lose their identity, their individuality, may they lose their sense of being, may they be conformed to become this homogeneous, uniform people who all look alike, talk alike, think alike, dress alike. No. He was saying, let them be them, but let them be united. Let them be a corporate son. So, all that I said until now was to say that we need to be in this corporate understanding of what it means. So that means you can't run your life by yourself. You need somebody. And you can't do that on a Sunday morning. Turn up on a Sunday and say, yeah, I'm part of the church. Let me sing a song. Throughout the week, you should be aware and conscious of the fact that you belong to this family. You should transform your mind from thinking I belong to an organization to I belong to a family. Why? Because that's what God wants. Ultimately, God wants a family. He doesn't want a perfectly functioning organization. And one thing we know about families is families are messy. You know that. The Bible says, where there is cattle in the stall, there's a lot of poop. Yeah, the Bible says that. That's ESV. Emmanuel Standard Version. But the Bible says that. That means what? You know the stable that's clean? It has nobody there. But in a stable, there is... Has anyone gone to a cow shed? Has anyone gone to a spotless cow shed? I have. For about 3 seconds, I think. They would hose it down. And then one cow will come by and say, oh, clean place. Poop. Right? And that's how we know cows live there. That's how we know cattle are there. That's how we know life is there. So families are messy. But you know what? You can't just keep running from family because it's messy. You deal with it. You talk about it. You get over it. You grow. You mature. Don't keep saying, I'm born again. You know the song? I'm ugly. Nobody loves me. I'm born again. That's all I have. Nobody else. Only Jesus. I'll die and go to heaven. I want rapture. I want Jesus. Have you ever heard this song? I heard people sing this song. Because they're not moved from the born again reality to the spirit-filled reality to maturity. When you become mature, you harness the spirit within you to understand that everybody has weaknesses. Even yourself. Forgive yourself to start off with. Right? And move on. Has anyone here drunk wine? Yeah, most of you would have drunk wine. I'm not saying got drunk on wine. I'm saying drunk wine. Dranked. Anyone dranked wine? No? Christmas season is coming. When I was younger, Christmas season meant two things. Wine and cake. Plum cake. But you all don't know the plum cake I ate. The plum cake I ate, where the raisins, never plum, I don't know why they called it plum. They never used plums, but they used raisins that were soaked in rum. Okay? You have to understand, those cakes were kept on the shelf because they were high. It was good cake. Right? So Christmas is coming. Many people will want to drink wine. You know, many people want to make wine. So, anyone here made wine? My mom used to make wine. All you have to do is take one grape and squeeze it and you get wine. Right? That's it. Just one grape. No, the wine is in the cluster. You know how you get wine? You get it from the cluster. This is a cluster. If a new wine of God is going to flow from here, the cluster has to come together and the cluster has to push. Come on now, you two wine, what's that? No, grapes. You two grape berries push against each other until wine flows. Yesterday some wine was flowing. Wine flows. Has any husband and wife had wine flow in their house? When the husband loses identity, the wife loses identity, and only they can see is wine. That's what happens in a family. Cluster. Isaiah 65 verse 8.
Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster.
As the new wine is found in the cluster.
And one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all.
Where is the wine?
In the
see, where you see grapes, God sees wine. Hey, that was a hallelujah worthy statement. Some statements I make, all of you say, "Ooh, ah," but some nice ones, you're like dumbed down. You can see only grapes. God sees new wine. Because God has seen the finish. I want to tell you, if a grape runs away, the wine is still going to be made. It's the grape that's going to miss out.
Oh, yes.
There is new wine in the cluster. The word cluster is the word eshek, you know, or the word, it's the word eshek. It means the manifold togetherness. It means to bunch together, right? But very strangely, it's also translated stone. Go figure, right? It's cluster is eshkol, bunch of grapes. Its root is eshek. Eshkol. Anyone know eshkol? The valley of eshkol? No one knows eshkol? What they got from there and came? Grapes. How big the grapes were? Not too big. They were just too lazy to carry it, so they had to put that little grape on that huge pole. No, it was massive. It was massive. I want to tell you, this is the cluster. New wine is here. Now we'll go back to Nathan's reading of Exodus 30. Go on, read, Nathan. Read Exodus 30, verse 22 onwards. And then we'll read the New King, the King James Version, because I want to narrow in on certain phrasings of this verse. Go on, Nathan. Read Exodus 30.
Collect the choice spices, 12 pounds of pure gold, 6 and a quarter pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6 and a quarter pounds of fragrant calamus, and 12 and a half pounds of cassia, and measure them by the way for sanctuary people. Also get 1 gallon of oil.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We'll read from the New King James Version. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, King James. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also the principal spices. Say principal spices.
Principal.
Now, by now you should understand, there are many spices, but there are principal ones. Right? And God has only collected principal ones in this room. The other spices are not invited.
Amen.
Praise God. Anything to make ourselves feel a little better. To make ourselves feel important. Right? Of pure myrrh. Not just some ordinary myrrh. Pure myrrh. Does your Bible say pure myrrh?
Yes.
Hey, pure myrrh. Right? 500 shekels. Of sweet cinnamon. Half so much. 250 shekels. Even 250 shekels. And of sweet calamus. 250 shekels. And of cassia, 500 shekels. After the shekel of the sanctuary, just so that you know, you can't just pick and choose how much you want. You can't pick and choose how much you want. It has been prescribed how much. So you understand, if you are here, you are here.
Amen.
You are here according to the weight. Now you have to understand, the shekels was not counted, it was weighed. Well, let me say it again. The shekels was not counted, it was weighed. The people of God are not counted, they are weighed.
Amen.
You don't count. People come to me and say, how many people in your church? I say, you can't count the people in my church. Impossible. But you can weigh them.
Amen.
Right? Like someone said, we don't live in the book of Numbers. We live in the book of Acts.
Yes.
So, you have to weigh it, but the weight is also having a standard. Standard is Jesus Christ. Huh?
Amen.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. And then it goes on to say, and oil, and of oil, olive and hin. Right? And thou shalt make it an holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. Now it's a beautiful word, apothecary. It's like lightly translated as perfumer. But you know what? Perfumer, sort of, now apothecary talks about a person who has a skill and a tradecraft of knowing how to mix certain things, right? It shall be a holy anointing oil. So here is a very detailed recipe for this compound anointing oil. It's compound, you know, it's not okay. And it has to have the pattern that God has given. Careful he has to be. You have to be very careful, right? So each of this principle was a head spice. So each of you are head spices. Say, I'm a head spice.
I'm a head spice.
And guess where they are poured? They run from the head down to the body. Right? So they run from the head down to the body. Psalm 133 verse 2. Now, pay attention now. Don't miss out what God is trying to say. Psalm 133 verse 2 says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head. But here's a question. What is the it?
The oil.
Are you sure it's the oil? Read the verse before that.
Yes.
What is like precious oil that flows upon the head? Unity. Say corporate. Are you getting this now? Hey, we have to redeem that corporate word back to us.
Yeah.
You started with us.
Yes.
We are the true corporate.
Yes.
They say, no, corporates behave this way. The church, no. The church is the true corporate.
Amen.
We have to be together. They are together because they are being paid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, the illusion, sorry, not illusion, the allusion to it is, Floyd McLung once said something that I really, really like and I always carry it in my heart. He said, there are two ways animals can come to water, or rather animals can be gathered together. One is, you build a fence and fence all the animals in.
Mm.
Isn't that nice? You build a fence and fence all the animals in. Or, you let the water flow and the animals will come. See, the water will gather the animals together, or a fence will keep the animals together. When a fence keeps the animals together, it is a do not.
Yes.
But the river of life will draw. So, we have to be drawn by the river. Why are we coming together? Not because there's a fence outside saying, if you don't come to church, God's going to crucify you. God's going to take away your finances. He's going to do such and such to you. If you don't turn up, it's going to happen. And then you turn up. Oh, God's going to send this pastor, he's going to send some mean messages to you. He's going to preach from the pulpit about how terrible you are. Right? I remember having a meeting. One young man came to me. He said, I want to meet you. I said, okay. Do you go to church? He said, yes, I go to church. I said, why are you not meeting your pastor? He said, what I want to share, I can't share with him. I said, why? Because next Sunday he'll preach about it. It was very sad. No, that is what's bringing people together. No, there should be a river that flows. Remember, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. From the temple shall flow a river. From the throne shall flow a river. Prophet, priest, king. Remember, we spoke about this.
Yes.
Don't forget. Are you forgetting? No. Don't forget. So when the river flows from the prophet, priest, king, that's what attracts everybody. Right? So the unity is like precious ointment. Right? Unity is like precious ointment. And this is a principle we all know, we should understand and believe that it flows from the head down. Always. Always. And who is the head? Jesus Christ. He is our high priest, the true wine, the source of life. Okay. So, the four principal spices. Are you guys still with me? Do you want to stand up and shout to the Lord so you wake yourself up? Huh? Okay. Slap your neighbor and say, listen to the man. No slapping happening, I see. No problem. No problem. So these spices, they picture something else. They picture the fivefold ascension gifts. Anyone remember the fivefold gifts? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, teachers. Once again together everybody, children including, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Well done, well done. Okay, so they parallel Aaron and his four sons. Say, Aaron,
Abihu,
Eleazar,
Ithamar,
and Nadab.
Nadab.
Oh, how wonderful. God sort of just threw it in there. No, we just sort of found it. And God is like, wow, I wrote it in there. Hey, God doesn't do anything without purpose. You're sitting here, you thought, oh, my father dragged me here. I don't know what I'm listening to. I'm telling you, God wants you here.
Amen.
Okay, so the four principal spices also talk about, right? They talk about the four gospels, the four renditions of the gospel, followed by the book of Acts, right? Remember, the four spices with oil makes it five. So some of you were just thinking, he says four spices, five gifts. You forgot oil.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, fine. The four gospels followed by the book of Acts. And the book of Acts chronicles the works of who? Acts of the Holy Spirit. You know it's called Acts of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
We just say apostles. But the Acts of the Holy Spirit, it was his Acts, okay? So, each of the four is like the four principal spices. And if you study it, you will understand. You will understand. Okay, so now, the pure myrrh talks about Jesus, the king who suffered. Pure myrrh. Sweet cinnamon talks about the sweetness of the servant of Jehovah. Beautiful. Sweet calamus, which means branch. Calamus means branch. Talks about the Gospel of Luke, where the man, Christ Jesus, is the extension of the Father. Cassia, which means cleave, talks about the Gospel of John, illustrates Jesus as this eagle that flies. Do you know that the creature that had four faces? Anyone remember the creature that had four? It's in Ezekiel, right? The creature that had four faces. Someone help me out. What is the first face? Face. Face of an eagle. Okay, first, second, third, they were all around. So let's just go with the faces. Man. Eagle. Was there a lion?
Yes.
Lion. Was there an ox?
Yes.
Ox. Now, some people, what they do is they say these four correspond to the four gospels. You know, eagle is John. I think man is Matthew. Servant is ox and man. And, you know, that's great. But Ezekiel again talks about the figure. But this time, something happens. The ox disappears and the cherubim comes in. Okay? Now, that's a topic for another day. You'll not get into that. Because then you'll lose what we're trying to talk about here. So, these four principal spices. Okay? Four principal spices are all blended spices. Say blended.
Blended.
You know what's a blend? To put together. Where then one is not distinguishable with another. Right? Say, I'm blended.
I'm blended.
I don't know where I begin and my wife ends. That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
They're blended. And they need to be blended for the anointing to be genuine. Okay, first. Second, all four spices have to work in every Christian. Oh, but I'm a principal spice. Yes, but you got blended with three others.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay. Each of these spices indicate the differences we have. Right? But the first three was found in the garden. Do you remember that garden?
Yeah.
Right? You remember that garden? They were found in the garden. Okay. So let's without much waiting, let's go to pure myrrh. And then we close this thing. What is pure myrrh? Exodus 20:23 says, take unto thyself principal spices of pure myrrh. So, among many, many things, myrrh was an embalming spice. You know that? It talks about death. So there is a death element in myrrh. Please hear me now. Don't get distracted with your paper in front of you. Please hear me. There is a death element to myrrh. Myrrh also was a preservative. That means it will keep you from getting corrupted, rotten, putrefied. You know, because of that embalming thing. That means the divine promises of God will work in you. The myrrh element. Come on now, hear me out. Myrrh is used for healing. Myrrh was a perfume, you know that, right? Myrrh was a very expensive gift. It's not a cheap thing. Right, now, the myrrh element of the anointing also talks about suffering. Also talks about suffering. So, I want to give you a word of warning. Many people, they are being covered with an embalming fluid and they think they got anointed.
Oh.
Yes. You know who you put embalming fluid on?
Dead.
The dead. Many people are actually dead and they want to believe that, oh, you know what, I got anointing, and they're doing things, right? Right? No. Come on now, follow with me. Follow. Don't think of the person you think that's dead. God's talking to you. No. The myrrh element is supposed to be showing death to self. Right? It's supposed to be showing suffering. Now, how many of you have been suffering? How many of you have had your 500 worth of suffering and you're done with it? Suffering. The next element is sweet cinnamon. Sweet cinnamon. Right? It's a principal spice. It represents sweet things. The sweetness of grace. I want to tell you. I want to speak over you. I say that the myrrh element of you is over.
Amen.
We are stepping into the sweetness of cinnamon. The sweetness of grace. Okay? Sweet cinnamon. It's a grace that is fulfilled in his life. The law was given by Moses, but Jesus brought grace and truth. Right? Next was sweet calamus. Now, the word calamus, it means erect, it means a reed, it means a rod. It talks about government. So the government of God should be in your life. There should be order in your life. You know, lawless people will not get anointed. Now, you remember Queen Esther? She was anointed and purified for how many months? Anyone remember? 12. 12 is apostolic, but also governmental. Governmental, right? So she was under this treatment of myrrh and sweet odors for 12 months. And then when she had given herself to that, under the counsel of Haggai, the Holy Spirit, she could come before the king and bring about change. So lawless people will not be anointed. There has to be a law in your life. And you know what's lawlessness? Lawlessness is not having law. Lawlessness is having a law unto yourself. For example, there's a law that says red light means stop. Yellow light means get ready, or amber, whatever they call it. And then green means go. But then you go out on the street, it'll be red and people are whizzing past you, going away, you know, doing all those things. The law says stop. But they have a law to themselves. So they are law unto themselves. So lawless doesn't mean breaking the law. Lawless means dishonoring the law. You get it? Making a law to yourself. So if the Lord God Almighty says do this, you not doing is not lawless. You say, I shall do this instead, and this is what I shall do. And that becomes a law to you. That's lawless. It's much more sinister than just breaking the law. Right? Lawless people will not be. And then, finally, the last spice, cassia. You know, it represents humility. Why? Because the word cassia is the word kida, which means shriveled rolls. Humility. Notice, myrrh was 500. Sweet cinnamon, 250. Sweet calamus, 250. Humility, 500. Hey, you getting this? Suffering and humility between sweetness. You must understand this now. Right? Right? To bow down, to stoop down. Also to cleave. 500. But all of it is in the measure of the sanctuary. That means what? The measure is of Christ. There's only one measure. That's Christ. But you know what you're going to mix with that? Olive oil. As the Holy Spirit. So you're not just mixing with the spices, you're mixing with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that will enable you to get over your differences and mix with each other.
Amen.
Just by yourself, if you do it, we'll call personality development. No. The Holy Spirit will flow on you, through you, within you, to the other person and mix you. That's what's going to happen. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Allow the Holy Spirit in your life, in your marriage. Your marriage, there's a mixing happening. You know, there's a pounding happening. You know how you blend the spice? Unfortunately, there's no other way other than to pound. Right? Pound your neighbor. No, don't do that. Okay. So, pounding means to put in a pestle.
Yeah.
to take the mortar and to go wham, wham, wham. God does that. He sends His word. He sends His servant. He sends circumstances. He sends enemies to pound you. But then He will just pour in a little oil. Just when you're starting to get dry with the pounding and say, looking up to heaven, Lord, He'll pour in a little oil and pound you again. So even the oil gets so mixed with you. I want to tell you, you're having problems in your family. Allow the Holy Spirit to come. You know, 90% of the problem can be solved using one method. 10% using another method. I'll tell the 10% first. 10% is allowing the Holy Spirit to flow in your life. 90% is by shutting up. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm serious. If you shut up, guess what will happen? You'll not have 90% of the problems. You solve the remaining 10 with the Holy Spirit. You know why? It's my opinion that gets me into trouble. Right? But we need to mix. So I said we are a family, but we are different. Look around you and look at all the freaks around you. Other than you, everybody is freakish. Isn't it? And then you look in the mirror and say, oh, me too. But that's how it is. But God has chosen the measure. The 500, the 250, the 250, the 500, the hin of oil, all are here. He's not given more oil or less oil. But here's what happens. You see, once that is done, the Lord is going to use the same oil to anoint the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies. There is no difference. I want to tell you, you may feel, I don't understand the great things of God. God's going to use the same oil on you as He uses on the person who says, I know everything. I read the Bible 5 hours a day. I know all the scriptures, Greek, Hebrew, and everything. No. Everyone gets the same. Equality. Equal. Say equal.
Equal.
That's why it's so. You should be careful judging someone. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what's going on in their life. Be careful. Right? So God is calling us to a corporate oneness. And this anointing that you're seeking, that's going to demolish. Now, I said all that, right? Now, what brought you out is the anointing. What will lead you through is? What will lead you in is? Anointing. And where does the oil come from? Say us.
Us.
That means us is not there. The out, through and in will not be there. So the Bible says, a week before last, the Lord ministered to us in a song saying, I have brought you out. I have brought you through. And I will lead you in because I am in love with you. Who brought you out? Did you do it? No, He did it Himself. Who brought you through? That means, is it your responsibility to go in? He will lead you.
Amen.
All you have to do is be in the pot. Tell your neighbor, be in the pot.
Be in the pot.
Be in the pot. Be in the pot. Now, in closing, this is my first closing. Say it's the first, His first closing. Yeah. In closing, let's turn to Revelations. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now, pay attention, all of you. Chapter 4, verse 1.
After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice...
See now, many people think this door is a door of rapture. No, it's not. It's not. Pay attention now. This is open heavens, the Bible is talking about. What is it?
Open heavens.
And then he goes on to say...
And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.
Verse 3 says, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Say emerald.
Emerald.
You know what color is emerald? Anyone knows what color is emerald? You can go through the entire Vipgyor. What color is emerald?
Green.
Green. Say green.
Green.
Now let's move quickly to Song of Songs. You have to be quick about these things, huh? Song of Songs. Song of Songs. Fast. Chapter 1, verse 16. Are you there?
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, Also, our bed is green.
Oh, what a strange scripture verse. Can you read that again?
Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green.
Psalms 92 verse 10. Psalms 92 verse 10.
But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
Okay, stop. Now, I want to tell you something. The verse, the word fresh in Psalm 92 is the word green. That word has been used 20 times in the Old Testament. Between 20 and 24. And 18 times it has been translated green. The remaining times it has been translated fresh. So it means green. The bed is green. The emerald is green. Are you hearing? Are you seeing something?
Yes.
What I'm saying is, the word green is the word verdant, fresh. So, I want to tell you, there was an anointing oil that led you out. Now is not the time to sleep. Come on, wake up.
Yes.
Open your eyes. There's an anointing that led you out. There's an anointing that lead you through. But then there is an anointing that will lead you in, and that is fresh.
Amen.
There is a fresh oil God wants to put upon us. He prepared a green bed, freshness, verdant, right? Verdant, emerald. God wants to put a fresh oil on you. This fresh oil carries with it the sound of prosperity. You will prosper in the fivefold area of your life.
Amen.
You will prosper physically, emotionally, relationally, you know, financially. You will prosper. You will prosper. Spiritually, you will prosper. Why? Because there's a fresh oil that God wants to deposit on you.
Amen.
But why does God want to do that? Because new wine is found in the cluster.
Amen.
Because oil is found in the pot. Because he has told the apothecary, he said, with the art, the skill of the apothecary, who is no one but Christ himself. And he has taken it upon himself to put you in the pot. Say, I'm in the pot. He's going to pound you. Say, I'm being pounded. He's going to pour the spirit on you and make an oil of you. You get it? You see, the beauty of it is, you will have the fresh oil and you become the fresh oil. Right? So next week, we probably will look at the fresh oil.
Yes.
Or whatever the Holy Spirit says next week. Right? God bless you.